God has given all of us a mission to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God. We want our church to be a launch pad for sending people out on the mission God has for them. Regardless of who you are, we all have a role to play. We are all involved in God's story. We pray that the story shared through Mission Control will encourage you to see how God is calling you to be used by Him. Thanks for joining us in Mission Control today. My name is Amanda, and I'm the Communications Director here at First Baptist Melbourne and the host of this podcast. Today in Mission Control, we have a very special guest, though I might be a little biased because he is my dad, Jerry Thornton. Jerry moved to Melbourne in 2021, and aside from being a phenomenal dad, is currently serving as the Associational Mission Strategist for the Brevard Baptist Association. Prior to his position at the BBA, he served through a season of over 20 years in pastoral ministry. Having grown up as a pastor's kid, I joke that it feels nice to have the tables turned when people here in Melbourne refer to him as, "Oh, you're Amanda's dad." My dad's been a very influential person in my life. He's someone who's good at listening and pointing people to Christ in a way that feels very authentic and natural. In our conversation today, we talk about his current season of ministry, unpacking what it means to be an associational mission strategist, the value behind churches partnering together, and the importance of saying yes to the ministry opportunities God presents to each of us. So this is a little interesting because you're my dad, which I'm sure I've just said in the intro, but can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you're doing right now?
Yes. Right now, I am the Associational Mission Strategist, otherwise used to be known as the Director of Missions for Brevard Baptist Association.
Okay.
So in the grand scheme of Southern Baptist, most people understand what the Southern Baptist Convention is. That's the national convention.
Mm-hmm.
And then underneath that, each state or most states have a state convention. Ours is the Florida Baptist Convention. And then underneath that is our associations. And
okay.
So a local association is all of Brevard County. So it's an association of 60 churches, all Southern Baptist here in Brevard that I work with and help and try to do whatever I can to help their mission.
When you say association, what does that really mean and what is the value of that?
Okay, what it really means is that churches and pastors understand that it's lonely doing ministry by yourself,
yeah,
and that it's actually better and biblical to do ministry together. And so an association is simply a group of churches that have chosen to give to the ministry, chosen to cooperate with each other, participate with each other, and support each other as best they can. And for the most part, our association is done through, not for the most part, it is completely done through giving through the churches voluntarily. There is nothing that they have to give. It's because they see value in doing ministry together and helping out other local churches in any way that they can.
Okay. Do you know off the top of your head how many are in the Brevard Association?
60.
60. I figured you would.
60 churches.
60 yep. churches. Very cool. How did you get to here? Have you always been working with the kind of more association convention type things?
No, my story goes back. You asked me to tell a little bit about myself. So I was born in Texas. I grew up in a very small town in the panhandle of Texas. If you look at Texas, most people think the panhandle is at the bottom. It's actually at the top. And so, we're in that little crook of area up at the top is where I grew up.
Texas could arguably have lots of panhandles.
It
so
could.
Florida's a little more obvious.
Yes, it is. We're at the top up there by Oklahoma. And so I grew up in that part of the world. It was a small town of 10,000 people. But we went to the most significant church in that community. and First Baptist Dumas, and I grew up in that church. And as a youth, I was very, very involved in that church and went to everything that you could possibly go to and felt called into ministry even as a youth. But really, my dad was a banker, not a pastor, and so I didn't know what any of that meant. I just said, God, if that's what you want, I will do that. But first things first, and that was college. And so I went to a university down the road in Canyon, Texas, and got a finance degree and really didn't pay much attention to my calling until I began to look for a job. And then when nothing was coming available to me, I began to think, okay, God, if you want me to go into ministry, I'm assuming seminary is next. And I said, I would do that, you know, and I surrendered to ministry at that point. And quickly thereafter, I got a job out of ministry. And so I was in insurance and real estate for about 15 years or so.
I didn't realize it was that long.
Yep.
This was all when I was a wee babe.
Yep. I graduated college in 1986, and I started seminary in 97 and was out in 2000. It was a while.
Yeah.
Before I had a whole other life before ministry that you have very little
memory of.
Yep. And so it was, I felt called into ministry when my wife's job, your mom is an actuary, and she has been rising up in her career for a long time, and it's a very stressful career, and we felt like, and we had two young kids, and we felt like something needed to give, because she was literally getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and going to work to beat the traffic in Dallas. And then she would normally leave work at around 6 o'clock, get home, work until she fell asleep on the couch, and then do it all again for 5 days. And because she refused to work on Saturdays.
Okay.
And so it was a very stressful time, and we felt like something needed to give. And so we went out to eat one day and to have a conversation about all of this.
Very good.
Because there were a couple of options that we felt like. Number one, becoming Mr. Mom.
Okay.
You know, giving up because somebody's got to pick up the kids when something's going.
You can't both be doing that pace.
Nope. And so me becoming Mr. Mom, or we both felt like that potentially I needed to go back to college. And she says, I really think you need to go back to college. I said, well, if I go back to college, I'm going to go to seminary. And we both, unrelated, hadn't been talking about it, but God had been working in both of our lives, telling us that I needed to go to seminary.
Had you ever talked to her about that call you felt as a teenager?
Yes.
Like before this going on to, okay. So this was something you both were aware of.
Yes, both of us were aware of. Both of us were very, very involved in our churches.
That's right.
In our church. Mm-hmm. We did as much as you could possibly do as a layperson at our church. And so this was not something out of the blue.
Gotcha.
By any stretch of the imagination. But for the next 3 years, I went to Southwestern. So I drove 4 days a week, 70 miles to go to school, and it was a great experience. But we kept telling, you know, her work knew that I was going to seminary and I was going to school, but it never really registered on their minds that there was eventually going to come a day that she would be leaving.
And gotcha.
So in the year 2000, I graduated in May. I had been interviewing and had found a position, and God really called me to a position in Florida. And she went to them and says, I am going to be moving to Florida, so I need to put in my resignation. And they said, oh, no, why don't you just take your laptop with you and we'll figure this out. And so Christy, my wife, became a telecommuter pioneer.
Yeah,
year 2000. So your mom's been working from home most of your memory.
Yeah.
working.
I have like vague memory before, but yes.
Yep. And so, yeah. So she's kind of a big deal, you know, in her world of actuarial sciences. But we moved to Jacksonville, and I started my ministry in Jacksonville at Arlington Baptist Church. And all of my ministry career has been in administration, in areas of really support, helping mm-hmm. other pastors and other ministers do their work, helping the church stay financially sound, helping solve problems when there were problems, build buildings and remodel buildings, those kinds of things. It's been most of my ministry career.
When you were in seminary, was that kind of the path that you saw for yourself then too?
Gosh, no. It was not.
Oh, okay.
I honestly wasn't sure what I wanted to do. It sounds probably strange to you, but before I went to seminary, most of my ministry was involved in music. And so,
I mean, that's not strange.
A lot of people just assumed that I was going to go into music. And I was like, I can just sing. I really can't do
music.
You're
the third person on this podcast that has like a music background. But then that's not what was used.
No, not at all. And so I never intended to go into music ministry. But I didn't know what kind of ministry. I didn't know what. So that's why I got a Master's of Divinity, because it was the most broad degree that I could get, in a master's degree.
Uh-huh.
And so if God called me to preach, I have the degree to do that. But it took me a long time. It took me 3 years really to begin to whittle down what it was that God called me to do. It was my preaching class. All right. My preaching class, it was the first time I ever preached. And so I thought I did a good job, and I think I did do a good job. But the pastor, the preacher, the professor said, if you don't feel just compelled to preach and you just got to preach, preaching is not your ministry. And I was like, yeah, that's not me. You know, that is not how I feel at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel a compelling. And so that's really what, and that was the last year of seminary. And so that really sealed it to me that, okay, that's not the direction. Senior pastor's not. And so if senior pastor's not, I really had a passion and still do for small group ministry, Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the direction that I really wanted to go in. I wanted to be an adult education leader.
Was that your first position?
Yes.
Because I remember you doing a lot of things.
In my first position was education and administration. And
okay.
So it was a smaller church. And so I had both roles. So I was over the business side of the church, and then I was also over all of the education. So that included all the children's ministry, youth ministry, and now I did have a youth pastor that worked underneath me, but I was over all of the education.
Uh-huh.
And so the administration part was such a sour part in my taste that when I left that ministry, I vowed never to do administration again.
Yeah,
yeah, well, that didn't work out so well, so... my next position was back in Texas,
mm-hmm.
and that was probably the weirdest one. I was a senior adult.
I remember.
Singles and outreach.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a stretch.
Wait, so that was your whole position?
That was my
whole
position.
Like, I knew you did those things. Those were the things I saw.
Yep,
that
was my position. Senior adults, singles, and outreach.
So when you took that position, how much of it was, I want to get back to Texas, and how much of it was, I feel called to senior adult and singles ministry? Or how much of it was even just God was saying, this is for you?
Okay. All of my life, but especially my ministry, I had one goal, and that was to say yes to God. All right. And so I don't know that I felt called to singles, senior adults, and outreach, but I felt God telling me this was my next step.
Gotcha.
And God used that position in many ways. In Arlington, over in Jacksonville, it was my very first position.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know what I didn't know, and I didn't know a lot.
Yeah.
And so coming out of seminary, and so I made some mistakes, I'm sure. But on the flip side of that, I was wounded coming out of that ministry, and God used the next ministry in Plainview to put me underneath a strong adult education leader and put me gave me some friends, gave me wonderful people in that church that surrounded me and loved me. God put me, it was that ministry that I learned to preach, because at the senior adult ministry, I went to nursing homes and assisted living places, and we did services. And so there's nothing like doing a pick your hymn night for a group of senior adults. Man, they can stump you, that's for sure, with some of the hymns that they request. But I decided to take that very seriously, and I decided to prepare for those services like I would be preparing as a senior pastor. And so I learned to preach in those, and those little ladies, they did, and I say that because there were only two or three men that were at most of these facilities, but they just loved you, and it didn't matter how bad you were. They thought you were the best thing since sliced bread. It was just, it was a wonderful, rewarding ministry. But after about 3 years there, the pastor that I had worked with in Jacksonville had called me and wanted me to return and come back. And I told him, I said, I don't want to do administration. And he said, that's okay. We really need an education person. Okay. And we need an education person, and I need somebody that will just be over all of the staff. And I said, I can do that. Well, I did that for about a year or so. And circumstances happened, and the church needed me to become the administrator and take over.
It was after only a year?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. My memory
about
is
a year,
fuzzy.
Year and a half. Yeah. It was about a year that I was there, and the reality was that first year, I was like, what in the world, God, am I doing here? I don't, it was rough. That first year was rough. You probably didn't know that. That first year was rough. I wasn't succeeding at anything. And I just felt like everything, I couldn't figure out why I was there. Lots of things were going wrong. And then circumstances happened where I needed to step in as administration on a temporary basis. And it was almost, like, it wasn't audible, but it was almost like God was saying, this is why.
Gotcha.
This is why you're here. And I was like, okay, I can do this on a temporary basis. And it was rough. It was a rough year because I was doing my job and somebody else's job for a year. And then after that, they asked me to move over and take his position permanently. And my first response was, no, I won't do it. I don't want to do it.
I didn't know that.
Nope. I said, no, I don't want to do that. I have no interest in doing administration. And it lasted 24 hours. And I thought, this is the first time I've ever said no to God.
To an opportunity.
And so I went back and I said, if the personnel committee and you, if you guys feel like this is where I need to be, then I will do that. And so for the next 13 years, I was doing administration at Thomasville Road. And so, yeah. And then to get to here is, you know, sometimes ministry just comes to a point where you know it's time to go. And that God has used your ministry for as long as he's going to use it here. And he really... you were about to have a little one, you were about to adopt, and we had a huge desire to be active parts of our grandchildren. And so God really began to put in our minds that he wants us here in this area. But we didn't know exactly what that would look like. And so it was really your mom that began to look for
positions. I remember.
Yes.
This is less fuzzy.
Positions for me. And so she would bring out some, I did not know, but she was running these things by y'all.
I have a brother who also lives in the Central Florida area. So it was kind of on the table of Central Florida, broadly defined.
Yeah, and there was one particular position here in this area that you were like, yeah, I don't think that you would fit in there. And then this position came up, and I really, in my role, I never worked with associations at all. I was never a part of the local association at any place that I ever went. And so when your mom brought this opportunity, she saw on the web that that this was an opportunity. I said, yeah, no, that's not me. And then she said, well, Amanda thinks that you would be good. And Daniel thinks. And I was like, I said, well, let me pray about it. And so there was, I had put my resume together mm-hmm. for another position mm-hmm. that they never ever called me on. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, why not? I've already got my resume. It's not going to matter. It's not going to. Yeah. Yeah. And so I sent in my resume here and applied for, all right, so I will give you my side of the story and then I will give you the other side of the story okay. here in a minute. All right, so my side of the story is that I sent off my resume and I didn't really think too much about it, mm-hmm. but I got a reply back in from email mm-hmm. and they sent me a questionnaire. And they had a whole committee at Brevard Baptist Association of putting things together for a questionnaire. And I looked at this questionnaire, and this questionnaire was all over the place. You know, it was just a question here and a question there, and there was no system to the questionnaire, and it didn't make any sense to me. And I spliced it and diced it, and I reordered all of the questions to where it became a narrative for me. And God really used that questionnaire, and I felt like, wow, these people need me. These people, you know, this thing is just, you know. And so I put it all together, and I put this thing in a narrative format, all of the question and answer, and I thought it was a beautiful thing. But just in case, I went ahead and also submitted it in the order that they mm-hmm. gave it to me. And so it was a few weeks or maybe even a month or so. And then they called me and asked me to come and interview. And I really felt like that God was calling me to this position at that point. Mm-hmm. And I felt like God had used that to really help them, you know, narrow in on me. And so I did a telephone interview with them. And I thought I just nailed it and hit it out of the park and thought that everything was good. So I wasn't surprised at all when they called me back and asked me for an interview. And I felt very, very certain. They were down to two candidates, and I felt very, very certain that I was going to get the position. Mm-hmm. And so I came down and interviewed for the position. And then they offered the position. And then I had the opportunity to talk to Bob Wilson, pastor at Titusville, First Baptist Titusville, who was the chairman of that committee. And he says, would you like to hear
the other side?
The story about how you were hired. And I'm like, yeah, I'd love that. And so he says, well, when you sent in your resume, it was only me and Scott Wilson that were really interested in you at all. And the reality was that because you had no senior pastor experience at all, mm-hmm. that most people really didn't see you. And we had to talk you up to get you to get the
others to
and I'm like, wow.
Look at you.
I said, But then when I sent the questions back, did that make a difference? He goes, I got those questions back and you'd rewritten them and you'd reordered it. And that was going to confuse them so much. They didn't even see your order. I completely gave them. And to be honest with you, Jerry, we had to talk you up to get you a Skype interview. Now, after we talked to you on the phone, then you really began to show yourself. And then after you came in person, it was very clear that you were the person. But God used that in different ways for different yeah. people. And so it's an interesting story anyway.
Especially when you think something so clear like, oh, God's doing this for everyone.
Yeah.
And to hear,
it's,
no.
It's not the case.
It's humbling.
It is very humbling. And then on the other side of that, it's encouraging because God's going to be God, and God has authority over everything, and He's in charge, and we don't have to worry about the things that we don't have to worry about because He's in charge and He's in control. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't like the situations that we're in. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's difficult in the moment. And sometimes He's telling us to wait. And that's the worst answer we like to hear,
right?
Is just wait. You know, and often he asks us to wait while other things happen around us that we have no idea about. And the longer that I've been following God, the more I understand that it's not my timing, it's His. But that doesn't mean I don't get frustrated. Doesn't mean that I don't get impatient. But hopefully as I get older, it gets a little better.
Yeah. You know? I'm curious. I think I know your answer. I think I know the answer. You're like, I don't think anyone who has talked with, well, with the exception of Eric Axum, who we've heard from, everyone has felt some sort of calling to ministry in their teens or in their childhood. Do you think that's very common? Do you think there's a role the church plays in cultivating and shepherding that?
Yes, I think that's very common. And yes, I do think that there is a huge role that church plays in that. For me, I know that I had wonderful Sunday school teachers all the way from growing up. The reality is, very few of those do I remember, and even fewer of those do I remember any lessons.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, it's giving me a foundation. But the church, God used the church to put me in positions, mission trips. Mm-hmm. Mission trips were very, very instrumental in me feeling a calling. It was always on a mission trip that I remember thinking, oh, wow. It was on a mission trip that I can remember the first time that prayer was answered almost immediately.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, wow, this stuff really works. And so it's mission trips. It's things that churches put you in positions for. Having to teach, having to, you know, and so, yes, I think that a church has a huge part to play in that.
What are things that we could be doing as the church and as ministry leaders to be cultivating that in kids and teens these days? Do you think we're still doing a good job of that?
Yes, I do. I think that we need to have strong adults working with children and youth. I think that's extraordinarily important. Building relationships, helping children understand what it's like to be a follower of Christ, mm-hmm. and that you just don't become a mature Christian. It's not an age.
Yeah.
You know, it's a process. And I'm not sure what a mature Christian even looks like.
Yeah.
The more I learn, the more I learn that I don't know. And so, yes, I think that just building relationships, helping children and youth see people that are trying to live out their faith and are living out their faith in a real way. But taking trips, mission trips, camp, where kids are with adults for an extended period of time, mm-hmm. that aren't their parents. At a certain age, usually it's around 12 to 13, kids need to, it's not that their parents aren't important, they are, but they need to begin to see and be around other adults other than their parents that are also, mm-hmm. Because they put more stock in that.
Yeah.
You know, and they want to see what real faith. And so being on a trip and seeing a person minister, I think that those are very important things for kids and youth to be a part of. Cool. Yep. So I think that we're doing a good job of that.
That's good. What kind of advice do you have for someone who is maybe exploring, regardless of their age, that call to ministry or the call to do something more?
Talk to people. Go to your pastors, senior pastor, of course, but all of your pastors, and just say, hey, you know, I'm feeling a call. What does this mean? What did your call feel like? What mm-hmm. what do you do? How does this look? What is, you know, talk to people, begin to have mentors, seek out mentors, take it upon yourself. People aren't going to come to you most of the time. You're going to need to go to them. And so as a young person before college, or even in college, it's even more important mm-hmm. during college. But as early as 12 years old, I think God begins to put in your heart and call and begin to give a sense of calling.
Mm-hmm.
We're all called to ministry. It's just that some of us are called to ministry to as a profession.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think that that's the biggest thing. It's just to really get in there and do it. When God gives you opportunities, when somebody says, hey, would you teach this group? It's scary, but the answer is yes.
Yeah.
You know, any opportunity that you're given, the answer is yes. And you just do it. Are you going to be great at it? Probably not. But the Bible is full of average people and God using them and doing extraordinary things. And so I thank God for my averageness all the time.
Yeah. Fair. What excites you about the season of ministry you're in this going forward in this season?
What excites me? Well, it's exciting to see all of my ministry career. I was involved and my passion was always my church, whatever church that I was in. And to be honest with you, I didn't pay any attention to any of the other churches. It,
mm-hmm.
it was irrelevant to me because what we were doing was what God wanted me to do and be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt like it was really none of my business what other churches around me were doing. And so mm-hmm. I just really didn't pay any attention to what's going on around me. Now, I am in a scenario where I'm learning a lot of different ways of doing ministry and realizing that there's not just one way, that it takes a lot of different kinds of churches to reach a population.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can get into this mindset of, oh, we're doing great. So obviously everybody ought to be doing what we're doing.
Sure.
The reality is you're only going to reach a certain subset of people
yeah.
with whatever you're doing. And there's a whole other group of people that are going to be reached another way. So it's exciting to me to get to see the different ways that people do ministry. It's exciting to me to get to know the ministries that are outside of the church, that are Christian ministries that churches can partner with, and get to know and see what they do and tie churches to those ministries and look for ways to support them, look for ways that ministry can support the church. And so those are the exciting things. And just seeing people being called into starting churches and being called into ministry and being able to help them and grow them and mentor them. Those are the exciting things that I see in the future.
Awesome. Okay. And then finally, what advice or encouragement would you have for someone who's feeling the call to make disciples here and everywhere for the glory of God?
Get involved. All right. Number one, I'm assuming that most of the people that are listening to the podcast are church members of First Baptist Melbourne. So number one, small group. You've got to get into a small group. Our church is large enough. It's too large to be able to minister to everybody, just the pastoral staff or even
yeah.
just the deacons. You've got to get involved in a small group ministry. So get involved in a life group, get involved in a Sunday school, get smaller and get active in people's lives, and then just see where God takes that. So that's the first step. If you know that God is beginning to call you to start a life group or to start a small group, we need them.
Yeah.
And so answer yes and say yes. And God will lead you in the direction. He will lead people to you. Be open to the needs within the community. Be willing to change to meet their needs. God may bring you in with one mindset, and as he brings people, he's going to change your mindset and change the way that you do things. But actively minister to people. That's where God starts. It all starts with people. And then as God begins to bring people in your life, one or more of those people are going to take you in a direction if God is taking you there. You know, it's rare that somebody feels called to missions if they've never been on a mission trip.
Yeah,
or they've
sure.
never known a missionary.
Yeah.
And so go. You know, start with a small group, then look for a mission opportunity, look for a ministry to work in, and just start doing it. it's a skill. It's kind of like getting healthy or getting in shape. You just have to do it.
And you have to start somewhere.
Yep. The only way to begin an exercise routine is to begin an exercise routine. Mm-hmm. And you just start exercising. Is it hard at first? Yes, it is. And it feels awkward and all of that. Well, it's the same thing in ministry. But the longer you do it and the more that you do it, it just becomes a part of you. And it begins to change you. And so, yeah, just you know, it's the Nike, just do it. Just get involved and just, and so wherever you are, if you find yourself, I'm already in a small group. Well, then begin to pray, okay, God, is this what you want? Is it simply to be a part of the ministry, or are there people that are in my ministry, sphere of ministry, that you want me to really take under my wing? Or is there somebody there that I need to go under their wing?
Yeah.
You know, whatever you're doing, God's got you there for a reason, and he's taking you someplace. And so just be active, just start and say yes. You know, whenever God brings up an opportunity, say yes. And do it. And that's how it starts.
As somewhat of a tangent, you mentioned small groups, joining a small group, potentially leading a small group. Y'all started a small group.
We did.
What has that been like for you?
It's been awesome. I have taught Sunday school for probably 30 or more years. This is the first opportunity I've ever had to have a Bible study in my home. And so it's just been awesome because I watched yours.
Zach and I laugh a lot because some of the things that, like, I'll talk with mom about of just experiences in leading a group in your home. And then Zach and I are like, they have like all of these decades of ministry experience. And then here we are, the seasoned experts, I say in air quotes, with our like, 8 years of doing this. So it's interesting.
Yes, but I watched your life group over the years, even when I was in Tallahassee, and you would call us with issues that had come up in your life group that I was like, oh my goodness, I have never dealt with intimate issues like this in all the years of Sunday school. Mm-hmm. And so when I came down, I was adamant about, I want to start a life group. And I watched yours, and there was an eating element, and it's biblical, you know, don't forsake eating together. And so I decided that the food component had to be a part of mm-hmm. our life group. So on Tuesday nights, we meet at 6 o'clock. We eat from 6 to 7, and we do Bible discussion, Bible study from 7 to 8. And it has been awesome. The first week that we ever met, you know, you don't know anybody. I didn't know anybody.
It's hard to start something brand new like that.
Yes. And it probably doesn't come across this way, but I am an introvert. So, you know, lots of people, you know, they kind of freak me out. And so especially ones I don't know. And so I'm one of these that are in a group setting. I will normally find my way against a wall mm-hmm. or a smaller group. And so it was a little intimidating to have people coming into our house, I cooked some stuff out on the grill, and we had a potluck. And man, after that first hour of eating together, it was like the group had known each other for weeks or years. It was incredible. I had never, in fact, there was one couple that came and did not eat with us, and they were the only original couple. That's not true. There was one other couple, but they were one of the only couples that didn't stick with us. Mm-hmm. And I think that it was they missed out on that eating opportunity with us and that bonding time. Now, we've got one guy that he likes to eat early. And so he never eats with us, but he still comes and participates mm-hmm. and fellowships with us. And that eating time is extraordinarily important. And then we just transition into Bible study. Our group is anywhere from age 15, I guess, is our youngest, maybe 14.
Do they participate? 75.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes. And so we can't provide childcare, but if anybody, if they have children that can sit and participate with us, we're open to that. Mm-hmm. And so that multi-generational aspect of it has been also very fun. So I've loved every minute of it. Our group, I guess we're almost 2 years now of being a group, and this is not going to be new to them. We've talked all along about, multiplication. And so we've got
the buzzword.
Yeah. And we've got a multiplication plan and for not completely talked about, but I think those people are feeling called to be the next leaders and be called out. So hopefully in the fall, it'll be sad to see a good portion of our group move on and start a new group. But I think that we've created a role or a system that really works for us. And so the meal part is extraordinarily important. And so, yeah, it's been awesome. And I encourage everybody, really honestly, at a church this size, you cannot minister to or be ministered to without being a part of a small group, a smaller group. And so right now we have, I think we have about a total of 20. And so
that's good.
Yeah. So we average about 14, 15. That's, our house is, God's blessed us with a nice house, but you can't fit much more than that.
Yeah. It gets hard.
In our house.
And so, our issue were the kids.
Yes. Yeah. And so for you guys, it's a little more challenging because of babies and toddlers and young age children. Those are challenges in a small group setting. But once they get to be, I would probably say, fourth or fifth grade, I think that they could sit and be a part of the
discussion.
45 discussion time. It's been rewarding, I think, to our younger people because they see that we struggle with the same things.
Yeah.
That they struggle with.
Well, it changes, it flips the script from being like preached at or taught to like a healthy, you're allowed to participate in discussions.
Yes.
And we're allowed to maybe not have all the answers.
Yes.
I think that's very important.
Yeah. And so I think that it's been very rewarding for everybody. We enjoy the younger folks. We enjoy the youth that are coming because it helps us stay and see the issues that they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Especially to those that have been retired, you can begin to get a little isolated from culture and what's going on in the younger generation. So I think it's been a very good thing.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything you felt like you wanted to say that I did not prompt?
No, you told me to come and have a conversation, so that's what I'm doing.
This was an interesting one. It was fun, though.
Yeah,
I enjoyed our conversation.
I mean, who wouldn't want to come and hang out with their daughter for an hour?
Thanks. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mission Control. If you're interested in learning more about Launch 10X and the different ways to get involved in what God is doing here at First Baptist Melbourne, a great place to start would be visiting our website, launchme.church. In the realm of personal life updates, I'm actually pregnant right now. In fact, the day this podcast is scheduled to be released is my due date. All that to say, this podcast will be taking a little bit of a break over the summer and will be returning to bi-weekly episodes this fall. We have a lot of great guests lined up, starting with Katie Campbell, who is currently serving on the Brevard County School Board. The best way to keep up with the podcast and not miss future episodes is by subscribing or following this podcast on whichever podcast platform you're currently listening to. Until then, I hope you have a great week on mission with King Jesus.